Welcome to Sense and Sustainability, your podcast channel for sustainable procurement. We hope you like what you hear. Please go to www.iso2400.org for more information, learning resources, tools, and much more.
So welcome to Sense and Sustainability, our podcast channel for everything to do with sustainable procurement. I'm Sean McCarthy, Director of Action Sustainability, and delighted to welcome today Tim Whedon. Welcome, Tim.
Welcome and good morning or good evening, whatever time of day it is.
Good afternoon or evening or whatever time of day it is.
Happy Christmas.
Yeah. So, Tim, would you like to tell us, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be involved in what you do, which is a fascinating story about repurposing of technology.
Okay, well, I'll try and cut it short because I'm 65 years old. It could go on for a long time. But basically, I'm an accountant by training. I got to certified finals, but failed on tax. Apparently, don't pay is the wrong answer. Since then, I've done a variety of things, including running my own corporate finance brokerage and being a freelance accountant. And it was that got me to this point, because I was living in a small village out on the Isle of, towards the Isle of Grain. And became very good friends with my next door neighbor, Nick Waite, who happens to own this company, and fell in thick with him and became his management accountant doing one day a month. And then about 3 years ago, he asked me to become permanent, 3 days a week permanent. But and then he asked me to get into selling. Now, the company itself has been going for best part of 30 years, 29 and a half. And we started off as box shifters, simply buying in new IT and selling it. Great for that. We had a lot of very good salesmen. But the margin was terrible. And we actually found the refurbished market almost by accident because, there's greater margins in it. And then we noticed, well, hang on, there's this big thing about the environment and things, recycling. You know, let's get on that bandwagon. To the point then we started becoming evangelical about it. Because the manufacturers will not help us refurbish their kit because they want people to buy new. And so all the way along, we're having to develop our own processes of how to do this. There's plenty of refurbishers out there who just delete the memory and give a wipe over the damp rag. We do a whole host more than that. So we now look at, and I've become the company's sustainability officer, we now look at everything. We're measuring our carbon outputs. We've done scopes 1 and 2. We're looking at scope 3 and working with people on that. In fact, we're working with quite a few carbon consultants, mainly because I want to sell them. But it's honest. The point is, looking after the environment is very, very important. And we are learning all the time how much more important it is. And we've joined Kent Circular Economy, where I was working with a bed manufacturer down the road from us. I don't think I can name. Because we were looking to replace our packaging material, because we have to, as we courier out the laptops, we have to quite securely package them and wrap them. And we were looking at taking their excess foam. Thought, this would be good, honestly. But thing is, foam for beds and mattresses is totally non-biodegradable, which doesn't fit with what we do. Of course, you can understand it, because you don't want your bed to biodegrade. But the great thing about that was that they got talking to us and said, oh, look, we've got loads of redundant IT. Can you dispose of it for us? We said, well, yes, we've got all the Environment Agency licenses. We can handle it safely and absolutely minimize the amount that goes to the landfill. And we went down and collected it. And it included machines we'd sold them ourselves 8 years ago. And we said, are you going to buy some new, some replacement machines? They said, oh, yes, we only buy new now. And said, we've got this directory, newsy, anything that's good. And we said, but, and he was talking about 70 machines. And I said, if you're going to be buying 70 of those, and he'd show me the spec, I said, that's going to cost you the best part of £80,000. I said, but if you bought from me, it'd be between £23,000 and £24,000. And just then my MD came out of the keyboard printing room. I said, 70 of those, £23,500. Couldn't have been scripted. But the guys were just saying, you're talking about saving us £50,000. We said, we can't go any lower than that. No, that's fine. And so that said bed manufacturer, and if everyone Googles us, they'll see the factory just down the road from us, so you know who it is, are taking refurbished laptops. And I'm rambling on a bit, but the thing is, we have a real difficulty persuading people that this is just as good as new. And one of our machines, and because this is audio recording, and I won't show you one, but if you saw one of our machines, you'd think it's new. We had sustainability officers from local colleges come here, and one of them got stroppy with me. Why are you showing me a new machine? I want to see refurbished. And I had to be polite. I said, well, if you knew your models, you'd know that that one's 5 years old. And she didn't. And then she got out a little eyepiece and looked at it and said, well, I suppose it's not new. So that's the point. They look as good as new. And they work as good as a new machine because they will run 99% of all software applications. Yeah, the really serious high-end design stuff, we would have to upgrade the processors maybe, which we don't tend to do. The only things we change from the original really is we upgrade the RAM and we'll upgrade the hard drive if necessary. But other than that, it's when you want me to, Sean, I'll go into the process and explain the process. But the whole point is one of our machines has 1/5 of the carbon footprint of its new equivalent. Now, that's just got to sink in for a bit, hasn't it? 1/5. Now, manufacturer with the initials HP has said clearly in public on their website that the production of one of their new machines puts 350 kilos of carbon into the environment. The production of one of our machines, we estimated about 5 years ago, puts an extra 70. And it's important to say that extra 70 kilos. Now, I'm remeasuring it, and at the moment we're calculating it's going to be about more like about 50. But it, as I say, it's very important to say that is an added 50. It's not instead of, because the carbon we're talking about here is embedded. It's not operational carbon. So when you're looking at your scope 3 and beyond, you know, this is not part of scope 3. It's the next stage on, but significantly important. So what we're doing here is we're enabling people to buy a machine that's only putting another 50 kilos of carbon into the problem, instead of buying another one at 350 and their old redundant one going to landfill. And yeah, that's something we work on quite closely. We will take people's waste redundant IT. We see four values in it. You know, it could be put through the process again. And I would say if the old rubbish we get in here, probably about 1 or 2% will get to go through our process again. Then there's the value in components. There will be RAM chips in there that we could reuse. There will be hard drives and things like that. And even screens. A friend of mine sent a machine back because there was a slight fault with it. And unfortunately, the courier smashed the screen. We kept it for about a fortnight until we were able to find a touch screen because his daughter had needed a touch screen on another machine that was otherwise dead and fitted that touch screen on for nothing. But again, that's just what I'm saying, adding to the recycling. And there's all sorts of, I could go into the technicalities of the process, which shows you our commitment to really, really reduce every step of the way. We're looking to reduce the time and effort, reduce our costs, obviously, and reducing the carbon footprint and the amount of stuff going to landfill. We're actually working with a material that's new to us, been over it for about 3 months. You know, like your phone, you get what we call pocket scratches on it. Well, you get the same on a laptop screen. You get people taking them home, put them on the kitchen table, and all sorts of weird and wonderful things happen to it. But this material, it won't repair cracks in the screen, but it's sort of like a micro gel film. And it'll actually go into the scratches and fill them. The only trouble is our application process isn't quite right. We're not getting it quite right. So we've put a greenhouse in our workshop. Yeah, I know that sounds like another thing to do, but it's the cheapest way we could get of building a dirt-free environment. So we set up this greenhouse, putting sealant all around the edges, and could put an extractor fan filter on it, see if that will get it. Because as you can imagine, if we're putting on something that's so sensitive that it's going to cover micro scratches, it don't need any dust anywhere near it. So otherwise it would just not look perfect. When we get that right, that will cut the number of screens that go to landfill by another 80%. So yet again, a carbon reduction. And that's also, one of our machines costs a third of the price. So any new businesses, any startups, any businesses that are struggling, but they've still got to invest in IT. Well, hang on, why pay £1,000 for a machine from PC World, Currys, whatever they're called now, that won't be as good because that'll have a plastic frame, whereas ours have a metal chassis. If you break the keyboard, you've broken the whole machine. With us, you can replace them. Which takes me back to the original thing. We reprint keyboards, and it's done with a plastic laminated ink type thing. And we put three layers on. The first one is all four colors, four printers' colors, which I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Then a black, and then a white to pick out the characters. Now, we can print so precisely that the light on the numbers lock and the caps lock key will still show through. And that's the quality, sort of attention to detail. And as in manufacturers don't help. They will change the dimensions of the keyboards ever so slightly, every 6 months or so. They don't tell us. They will not tell us. So we have to get out vernier gauges, things, and check it and remeasure it and reprogram the printers. So it'll do it. We can get keyboards that come in with Russian alphabet on. We'll respray that into standard British QWERTY and reprogram it and things like that. So again, it's just less muck going into landfill, going into the environment, and we're finding that people are really tagging onto it. Not enough. It's very hard to get the message across. And that's my next thing, because I noticed, Sean, you picked up on something. IT managers, they like bright, shiny things. They will come out with lines like, oh, no, we've got to have the latest process or the fastest process. And there'll be three people in the company, my target. There'll be the sustainability officer. He or she will love me because of our message. The finance director, also, it's a no-brainer, a third of the cost. IT managers, they like to protect their own domain. I hope there's no IT managers missing, because I'm going to be rude about them.
Might be, but carry on.
Yeah, well, perhaps they'll learn. Oops. They like, a lot of them, they like the bright, shiny things. They like to justify their existence, their budget. So we've got to have the latest, fastest processor. And they'll bamboozle the other two with technical things. It's got to have this, it's got to have that. Well, sorry, you're wrong on four counts. One, most of what businesses are doing, small businesses, medium businesses, is cloud-based. So the speed is dictated by your broadband. Secondly, you know, as long as it's capable of Windows 11, processors after, say, 8th gen are not actually faster. They're more efficient because they're what's called split core, and they run at a lower temperature and therefore use less electricity, fans cooling them. But they're not faster. Any minute increment in speed, you wouldn't notice anyway because of what I said about your broadband. And even if it is that fast, human eye wouldn't notice it. But here's the killer, and they don't like it when I say this. If you're running Windows operating systems, Windows throttles the processor. It controls it, same as the throttle on a car. It doesn't matter if you've got an Aston Martin V8. If you've got something controlling the pedal, it'll run at that speed. These machines will only run at the speed that the processor dictates, because it's trying to reduce the contention ratio between all the various bits of software, and that takes us back to the other thing. If your machine's running slow, it's because you've got too many cookies and other rubbish on it. So get somebody who knows what they're talking about. Not an IT manager, of course. No, seriously, get an IT manager to clear up your disk. I know I used to and don't do anywhere near as much now, but I used to go into internet history and clear down cookies and things like that. And that'll make a slight improvement in speed. But that's sort of veering away from my main message. The main point is, and if you were to come around our premises, you'd see this. Every cardboard box that comes in with goods in gets put to one side. And it's either used for packaging what's going out, or if it's damaged, it gets shredded and is used as a packaging material. Yeah, we take it down to that detail. We are trying to get further and further. I'm an accountant here. And the first thing I did is, what are all these files doing here? Why are we printing invoices? No, just stop it. They're coming in as PDFs. Leave them as PDFs, just attach them to the account. And things like, it's taken me 2.5 years. I've got the MD to stop printing bank statements because I can download them. Yeah, so it's working. Oh, by the way, I'm the oldest in the company, but it's a great challenge. I was a management accountant, still am, and I do a lot of that. It takes up a portion of my day, but it's a great thing. I'm involved mainly in Kent, but I'm also doing lots of education establishments, which is another thing I'll talk about, because that's a great market for us, because education establishments, they're under pressure to cut their carbon footprint image thing, apart from anything else. But they all believe in it, which is great. They're also under budgetary pressures from the local authority, which in turn is from the government. So what we're offering is a no-brainer. Third of the cost, a fifth of the carbon footprint. We also like to talk to construction companies, because they are under huge pressure because of their carbon footprint. The carbon in concrete is horrendous. Anything they do in the construction industry to cut their carbon footprint, which is the prices, costs through the roof. Except for what we do, which is great. But yes, education assessments. You were supposed to have my MD sitting alongside me, and it'd be all nice and pictures. But between him and me, we have taken orders from a couple of local colleges and schools groups for 500 machines this week. As we only produce 1,200 a month, that's quite a big lump. So it's like, quick, get some extra production staff in.
Thanks very much, Tim. Fascinating to hear a little about your background and what your business does. A note for our listeners, this is part one of two podcasts with Tim, so please do listen to part two to understand a little more about what he's doing around upcycling of IT hardware. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast on Sense and Sustainability. Please listen out for more episodes. For more information, learning resources, tools, and much more content on sustainable procurement, go to www.iso2400.org.